Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Today is National Boss Day. And if you're working in corporate America, just starting out or even have a few years under your belt, eventually you want to be the boss or something close to it. But how does that happen? And for African Americans, climbing the corporate ladder can be easier said than done, but it is not impossible. Well, tonight we have expert advice about that. My guests are Tawana Burrows. She is founder and CEO of Coach Diversity Institute, an executive coaching company, and Alicia Reese, author and chief brand strategist of 360 Gateway Brands. Lines are open if you have a comment or a question at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Tawana and Alicia, thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Let me start with you, Tawana. What does it take to be a boss?
You know, these days it takes more of the inclusive leadership. It is requiring our leaders to be in a behavioral change where the employee community group is demanding that they are being more inclusive in their leadership style. And so what it takes now is for you to have more empathy. Your ability to listen differently than you have in the past, to be able to listen for what's not being said and being sensitive to the skill gap that are existing within your team, watching skill gap, looking for performance opportunities for these individuals to grow into the next position. So grooming and sponsoring and mentorship is a different thing than it used to be in the past.
Mm-hmm. Alicia, when you were working in corporate America, you, from what I understand, you received, what, 2-3 promotions in 1 year? Is that right?
Yeah, 3 promotions in 1 year.
How did that happen?
I was super strategic. For me, I was very, very clear from the beginning that the role that I started in cannot be the role that I end in. So I went to my boss after I had gotten the first promotion, and I bartered with him. I said, hey, I'm willing to give you 3 years if you will teach me project management. I understood that if I was living in Florida, a project manager, I could make low 6 figures. And if I moved to New York, I could make high 6 figures being a project manager. So I bartered with him. I'll give you 3 years if you teach me project management, but bring someone in who's certified to teach me.
Hmm. So if you can tell us, who were you working for? Because on the face of it, 3 promotions in 1 year does sound a bit fantastic.
So at the time, I was working for a company called Next, and that's K-N-E-X-T, and it's a prior learning assessment company. I was working with them, and they basically partnered with LinkedIn and Kaplan University in order to assess a lot of the prior learnings that a lot of their customers and clients had in order to assist them in getting college credit. So I bartered with them, teach me, and then I'll give you my 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Your thoughts about that, Tawana, because honestly, that may not always be the case for a lot of people working in corporate America. 3 promotions in 1 year, 1 promotion in 3 years. Is there a secret sauce?
I wouldn't say there's a secret sauce, but she did say something that was super, super important. She said she was strategic. So there's several things you have to take into consideration. One, knowing what you want, when you want it, and how you want it. Then you can plan accordingly. And she also mentioned something else that was super important, and that was she knew that project management was a career field that had money. And a lot of times we will abandon the idea of researching where the money is flowing. And so she knew that if she followed the money in that particular career path, whether it was where she designed to go initially, she wanted to strategize to get the money. So she followed the money and she planned her way through it. So strategically, you know, you have to set realistic goals because it doesn't happen like that for everyone. But if you strategize and plan it out and be patient, you can make it happen.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about climbing the corporate ladder in corporate America, particularly for African Americans. How does that work? You can give us a call again at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Is the playing field different for African Americans, Alicia, than for other populations?
Oh, it absolutely is. There's no doubt about that. When you look at the leadership and the boards of most corporations, especially Fortune 500 corporations, you don't see very many of you who look like you, who speak like you, who even think or have the same types of experiences like you in the room. So what you've got to do is figure out how do I position myself so that I am in that room as well. And then once you're in there, bring others along that you trust. But how you actually do that, the how, is a little less than 5% of minority women schedule meetings with executives. Less than 5%. Those three promotions in 1 year didn't happen because I hoped on it. Like I said before, I was very, very strategic. I would schedule meetings with the COO to talk about what his goals were for the year. How can my team at the time, because I was on the phones at that time, how can my team support what he's doing in order to be sure that we reach that goal? So no, there aren't a lot of us that look like us in those upper management roles. But what you do is you secure yourself a mentor or a sponsor to get you behind that velvet rope. And you do so by leveraging what they want and what they need.
But you said something that kind of struck me. You said you scheduled a meeting with the COO. For those people who are really starting out or even in mid-level management, that seems like a bit of a pipe dream. Most people don't have access to the COO or the CEO or the CIO or even some senior vice president level managers.
Yes and no. Everyone has access to LinkedIn, and most of your COOs, CIOs, CFO, and all the OOs are on LinkedIn. What you can always do, and I tell my mentees this often, create some sort of a series that will allow you to interview those people because everybody likes to talk about themselves. Create a series and ask them to interview with you for that series. Now you've just gotten in front of the COO, the CIO, and all the other O's. And your series doesn't even have to be featured on a website or anything like that. LinkedIn has an amazing blog that you can put that series on after you've interviewed with that person. And it does take persistence.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about climbing the corporate ladder, whether you're just starting out or even if you have a few years under your belt. How is that done, particularly for African Americans? Again, give us a call if you have a question or a comment, and particularly if you have an experience regarding climbing the corporate ladder or even falling off of one of the rungs of the corporate ladder, at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Tawana, talk to me a little bit about what you recommend for someone who, for example, is looking for a mentor. And are there, and how do you manage unrealistic expectations? Or indeed, is there such a thing as an unrealistic expectation?
Yes, there are things such as unrealistic expectations. So we must keep in mind that we can be excited, we can be motivated, but there are still cultural issues in every company. There are unwritten rules for a promotion. There is a corporate culture that, as we said earlier about the leveling of the playing field, those corporate cultures still exist. So there are unrealistic ways of looking at promotion. So what you first need to do is understand what the rules of engagement are. You don't want to play outside of the field. In addition into building your own strategy as it is in alignment or maybe something that is going to allow you to be, you know, seen or more visible, finding a mentor or a sponsor is very strategic. Now, there is a significant difference between the two. A sponsor is someone who is going to advocate on your behalf at a very senior level. They may be a silent partner. They may know about you, but they may not engage with you. So they hear a good rumor about you or they are willing to endorse you. A mentor is going to share some of the strategies or some ways to navigate in an organization. And that mentor will then also share experiences and leverage some advice. Now, what I tell mentors and sponsors all the time now more than ever, that they need to be coaching in addition to mentoring, which means if you are a mentor and you were not necessarily a popular mentor or a popular leader and you may have toxic leadership skills or a toxic leadership style, you're just going to mentor someone to behave in that same format or to fit in that same shoe. So be mindful that not every mentor is a great mentor. Even though you're looking at someone in the C-suite or at the executive level as being achieved or accomplished, just because they're there doesn't mean that they're a good fit for you as a mentor. So be selective on how you align yourself organizationally with a mentor and or a sponsor. And so when you look at unrealistic expectations, that's what I said, know what you want, when you want it, and how you want it. A good mentor will help you filter through what's not realistic within a certain timeline. And the truth of that, and you being patient and understanding of that and still working within the playing field, that what's most important is that not everything needs to be bulldozed, right? Sometimes you have to be patient. Sometimes you have to sit back and allow things to move forward and sidestep left or sidestep right. So strategy is important, but more importantly, measuring your expectations is just as important.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about climbing the corporate ladder. How is that done? Let's go to Rachel, calling from Gaithersburg. Rachel, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. What an honor. I'm so glad you guys were able to take my call.
Sure.
What I wanted to share is that as an African-American woman, I've had similar instances where it was hard for me to climb up the ladder, or I was working in a department where I didn't feel like I was growing. And, you know, I started to use the same strategy as they just stated. I started reaching out to the higher-ups. I know that my communication skills are great. And I'm pretty confident when I communicate. And so I let all of that anxiety go. And I did the same exact thing. When I went to my superiors, I was more so complaining somewhat about someone I was working with that I didn't feel like I was growing in that department. And they took it in. They're like, okay, yeah, we understand. And then later they had created some really odd position where I was just like calling people all the time. And I felt like, you know, this isn't in my specialty. I'm not a salesperson. I'm not going to be pitching calls to people. And then ultimately I was able to use my communication skills to then build relationships with these people they wanted me to call. They changed my role. I moved up in the company.
Rachel, before we get too deep down into the weeds, let me ask you this. What's your question?
Well, my question is, how do I move from that level? They created this role for me, and I'm thriving in this role, and now I want to go to the next level. They know who I am. They know my strengths. They love me. I get the whole high five and award and recognition. But how do I go from that next level? Do I need to relocate like you did, or what do I need to do to get the next step up? I would like to stay with the same company, but if I don't have to, then that's fine too.
Alicia?
So my suggestion would be to first identify, are you aware yet of which role you want?
Yes, I am.
Okay, perfect. Is the role already filled? Is someone in the position?
Yes. The role is already filled and then someone has that position already, yes.
Okay, will they be hiring an additional person for that position, or is in order for you to get it, that person has to leave?
And that I don't know. That's probably something I should look into. But no, I haven't really inquired about that. But I know for sure that there are people filling those roles already. There's no need.
Okay, so then what I would suggest first is to find out that piece of information, because that will then best educate your next move. Because if there is someone that is already in the role, they're happy with the person who's in the role, and they have no desire to, you know, switch or change out that person, then you might need to look outside of the role. However, what I would also do is connect with that person, ask to go to lunch with them, to discuss their successes in that role, and to kind of fill them out to see, are they looking to make a move? Because then if, let's say, they are looking to make a move, then they can groom you to take over their position. But I would, it's integral and key that you find out first if there's an opportunity for either that role to you know, have an additional person in it, or if that person plans on leaving and they're going to need to substitute.
Okay. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Sydney, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
So what's on my mind is I definitely heard a lot of the other comments. I thought they were great. African-American man. And you know, oftentimes, you know, part of the stigma is that for African-Americans is that we don't know, either we don't present ourselves as knowing the business and showing value. And so for me, I work in government and IT, and so I've been getting my ideas up there, but getting that promotion, though, isn't occurring. So I'm trying to sell myself on the value I'm bringing to the projects that we bring in. What are some of your thoughts?
Before we get that question answered, Sydney, can you hang on for just a moment?
Absolutely.
Thank you. I'd appreciate that, because I need to get ready to take a break. But I want to let our callers know that we are still taking phone calls even after 7:30, as always, at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And as always, this podcast will be available on our website on WHUR.com. So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on SiriusXM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Phone number still available. We'll be taking your calls at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are talking about climbing the corporate ladder. How is it done? Is it easier said than done, particularly for African Americans? My guests are Tawana Burroughs, founder and CEO of Coach Diversity Institute, an executive coaching company, and Alicia Reese, author and chief brand strategist of 360 Gateway Brands. We are still taking your phone calls at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before the break, we were talking to Sydney calling from D.C. Sydney was talking about taking those next steps. Your thoughts about that, Tawana?
Well, he was speaking specifically about value. How do I show my value in even more to the people that are decision makers? And so, Sydney, I would like to submit for you to consider that. Look at what they are valuing and making sure that you're speaking the same language. So often we look at our contributions as being valuable, but sometimes what we see as valuable is not what they honor and or respect. So make sure that you're aligning your values with the bottom line, meaning, is it the moneymaker? Is it a high profile project? Is it allowing you to showcase your brilliance in a way where it is in alignment with the values that they are respecting? And that is critical. So it may be important to you, but it may not be as important to them. So make sure you look at other peers who are celebrated and or showing themselves in a way that they are being promoted or their way that they're being celebrated openly. Look at what they're doing and then reflect back on how you're doing and do a stare and compare and look at if there's anything you can do to pivot and or change, add or enhance your contribution.
Mm-hmm. Alicia, your thoughts about that?
So I also want to add to that, and that is a key point that you said, in that making sure that what you're doing is adding value in the way in which they see it and that they actually need it, kind of like with the love languages. It doesn't count if you tell me I love you by spending quality time with me if it's not my love language. But for what I would suggest also is once you've done that, once you've pinpointed exactly what they value, then you're going to need to figure out a way to strategically put your accomplishments in front of those stakeholders. If they send out a weekly email, or if they send out a monthly newsletter, or you have an internal intranet that celebrates the successes that workers have done or employees have engaged in, make sure you submit yourself, because we have to learn to toot our own horn. We're always taught, put your head down, let your work speak for yourself. Not so, not in today's society. Toot your own horn. Say, I'm super excited, and put it again in words that they understand. I'm super excited we were able to close at a 10% rate higher than we were last year for our sales team.
Hmm.
Make sense?
Well, here's my question about that before we let Sydney go, because we are talking about modern corporate America, and depending on the culture of a particular corporation, tooting one's own horn can be frowned upon or it can be celebrated. How do you know the difference?
Right. And you know, it's interesting how you bring that out, because the first thing that comes to mind, there's a difference between confidence and arrogance and ego. So when you are looking at how you are going to present yourself, rehearse it with someone that you care, that cares about you and your success, because you want to come off confident and not arrogant. Self-promotion in some cultures, even within the African-American community, some of us still feel that we need to be humble. We need to hold our voices. We need to be, you know, seen and not heard. There's so many things that we're challenged with. But in this day and time, as she said earlier, we must look at how do we display with confidence the things that we are contributing versus being arrogant. And so there is a difference. And many of us are missing opportunities because we're judging the work and our ability to promote ourselves as being arrogant. So I would submit for your audience to consider, decipher the difference and know that being confident is a good thing. It's a benefit, and not to be afraid to toot your horn in a confident way.
Sydney, thank you so much, and good luck to you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to talk about something else as it relates to climbing the corporate ladder. And how do you deal with, or how do you advise clients of color about the job of color? Because what we have seen, I would argue, over the past 15, 20 years is there's the black job, or the job of color. There's the diversity, the senior vice president of diversity and inclusion. And so for many, many Fortune 500 companies, even those that may be seen as quote unquote woke, that those companies are often, you see women or minorities in those jobs that may have traditionally been set aside for them. But you're not going to see a person of color as a senior vice president of acquisitions. You're not going to see the black person as the senior vice president of international relations. You're going to see that person in human resources. You're going to see that person in diversity and inclusion. And even if you are on the COO track, the CIO track, the CFO track, the CEO track, but you end up in the DAI track, diversity and inclusion track, should I clutch the pearls and say, oh my gosh, I'm insulted? Or should I take the job and hope that I can move into one of those other alphabets?
There is a such thing as checking the box on the upward path, right? So there are some strategic positions that you must take on as an assignment to show your contributions, intellectual contributions. But this is what's important, is that, yes, there have been some traditional positions or jobs that we've fallen into, education, teachers, human resources. Yes, all of those typical positions we've seen ourselves reflected as people, jobs for people of color. However, I want your listening audience to understand that times are changing and we are navigating in some of those non-traditional careers. And that's a great thing. However, if it is an opportunity for you to pivot to the C-suite and the chief diversity officer's position is open, you must consider, is this the right next step for me? Because you have a right to say no, thank you, and not to sacrifice just because it is a comfortable next place for a person of color. This has to be a decision you make, and you need to be confident enough to say, you know what, that's a great opportunity. However, I have my eyes on something else, and let me tell you what that something else is, and be very specific to them about not that C-suite position. I'm more interested in the chief learning officer position or the chief information officer, right? So you can strategize your way. You don't necessarily have to follow the path that people of color have traditionally followed. You can change that, change the game. And if they're not willing to offer you the opportunity at that company, that's where confidence comes in. Take your talent someplace else where you can be respected and valued.
That was going to be my next point for you, Alicia. Moving your, as Tawana just said, moving your talents to, as LeBron James said, Miami. Is that a good move in your opinion? They say, hey, we've got the perfect spot for you with keys to the executive washroom and all of these other kinds of perks that are well beyond where you are right now. How do you go about moving if that is not what you want at Company A?
So Tawana said it perfectly when she highlighted you have to make the best decision for your next right move, right? So the best way to eat an elephant is a piece at a time. It's not consuming the entire elephant or eating the entire pie at once, because then you choke. So that's not it. But making the best next right move, because you have to always be very, very clear on what is my ultimate goal? What is my ultimate strategy? And if it is the chief learning officer and not the chief officer of diversity and inclusion or of whatever the other position that they give you, I would absolutely first and foremost counter with, if they're having the conversation, then they're already clear on the fact that you are an asset to this company. Leverage the fact that you are an asset and simply say, hey, thank you so much for this opportunity, but what I would prefer is this particular position. If there is an opportunity to go into this particular role, I would be happy to discuss particulars around that. And if they say there's not an opportunity, then do not be afraid to move. You are not a tree. You do not have to stay and accept what doesn't work for you. You can respectfully decline and then start to connect and put your feelers out at other organizations that have the role and the opportunity that you need to make your next best right move.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about how to climb the corporate ladder without falling off. So, Tawana, you spoke earlier about mentors and sponsors. And you mentioned that sponsors, you may not always know that the person who is sponsoring you is sponsoring you. So if you don't know what you don't know, what good is it?
Well, what you do know is that you're doing great work. You're contributing at a level and you are a valued employee. You're not going to be sponsored if you're not a key contributor in some way, because a sponsor is not going to put their name on anybody that's not a winning horse. So let's be clear that a sponsor may be someone that is moving on your behalf at a level that you don't have connection. However, there are sometimes you do know that sponsor. You know that they're a silent partner with you. Your mentor may reach out to someone who has higher authority, decision-making authority, a sponsor, someone that has the ability to make moves on your behalf. So a mentor may reach out to a sponsor, and that sponsor may move on your behalf without, you know, necessarily being one-on-one with you, right? So it's important that we look for both mentors and sponsors. And when you know that you have someone that is sponsoring you, you want to say, give them a thank you. You want to identify as many of them as you can and let them know you are aware that they have seen you and they clearly understand your contributions and be grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. Because and that was the thing, because if you don't know who this person is it possible that you may never know?
Yeah, it is possible. But I tell you, when something great happens, typically like people want to be celebrated for that. So a sponsor would be one who give you a wink at the table or a nice firm handshake and say, you know what, I'm glad it was you. And that's when you start to realize who's in your corner, because some people just don't want to just walk around not being acknowledged for the fact they stuck their neck out for you, right? So they typically give you some type of a hint. And I think that you should just always grab onto the subtle hints so that you can always be grateful and appreciative and at the same time continue to do great work so you can continue to be sponsored and collect more sponsors.
Alicia, we've often spoken about getting a mentor. What if you want to be a mentor? How do you pick your pony?
So for me, I am very, very clear on the types of energies I like around me. And just like Tawana said, people know who's doing well because success makes noise. Lisa Nichols says it all the time. Success absolutely makes noise. So for me, when I am determining who I want to mentor, I honestly look for people who reach out to me. I like initiative, but not just reach out to me with their handout. They reach out to me presenting their value. One of my most successful mentors to date, she reached out. She slid right in my DMs on Instagram. She reached out to me and she said, hey, I noticed that you're doing a lot in this arena, this arena, and this arena. I see that you are super busy. I would love to see how we can connect so I can take some of the load off of you. When I tell you, I was like a kid in a candy store, because I was so appreciative of the fact that I understood that she wanted me as a mentor. But she at no time in those first interactions ever asked me to be her mentor. What she did instead is notice that I had an area of need, and she sought to solve that. Those are the types that I want on my table, on the boat with me, ready to rock and roll with me, because they do it themselves. They reach out. They're not afraid of, oh, what if they say no? To them, it's the worst you can do is tell me no, so I'm going to go for this yes. Those are the type I mentor.
Interesting. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about climbing the corporate ladder for African Americans. How is that done? I need to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk about some of the things that could break the rung of that corporate ladder. What are some of the impediments, those stop sticks, those speed bumps that may slow your progress? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. We're talking tonight again about climbing the corporate ladder. Is it more difficult for African Americans? What you can do to get there? I want to, during this last segment, talk about some of the impediments to growth and promotion. Talk to me a little bit, if you can, Tawana, about some of the things that may get in the way, some things that may not necessarily be so obvious, even when you are on the inside.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We typically want to look outside before we look at ourselves. So most often what gets in the way is we get in our own way. And this is where coaching and getting that good conversation regarding what you want, when you want it, and how you want it. Because when you are your own obstacle, you can support yourself out of that. Because a lot of times we assume and we make judgment about things that are going on culturally that may not even be the case.
What do you mean by that?
Well, there's sometimes an assumption that culturally they don't want me, they don't like me, they don't see me, I'm invisible to them. That may not be the case. That may be your perception of a different environment and or navigating through an environment, and you need support on how to navigate through it. And so it's not about what they need to change. Let's self-reflect and find out, what is it that I need to do to empower myself, to support myself, so that I can gain the confidence to challenge the system, to challenge situations where I may feel like I'm invisible, but not that. Maybe I need to speak up more often. Maybe if I'm sitting at the seat, at the table, and I'm one of the key contributors, maybe I am actually not speaking up enough. Or let's say I am intentionally being ignored. How can I strategically start aligning, letting them know, you're not going to ignore my brilliance. You're not going to do that.
Well, let me ask you this, because something just occurred to me, and I'm reminded, this is somewhat of an old story, but I remember even with Mattel and Barbies, that even with the development of Barbies, Barbie was developed by men. And that the first woman who told the story of walking into either the boardroom of Mattel or the creative center, for lack of a better term, she was the only woman. So if you are the only woman in a situation like that, how can you not think that they don't want you there?
Well, it's not about thinking, just thinking
or feeling
it.
That.
Well, of course you can feel it, you can think it, but this is where you have to support yourself on how you navigate through it. Don't allow it to stop you. Don't allow it to hinder your brilliance. And so that's a perfect case study, because we study the Mattel story a lot, because look at them now. They have assigned revenue to diversity in that way. So now they understand the money or the business case behind diversity, and that ignoring a woman's voice regarding Barbie is a bottom line issue, right? So it's not about saying they don't want me, they don't this, and they. Let's turn that, flip it. You are smart, you're talented, you're gifted, you were top of your class, and then you went to work, and then you became what? Less of all of that? No, I submit that you're still that. It's just that you need to step into that, and you need to get coached and supported to where you can maintain that. And so there's a level of personal empowerment that we tend to sometimes set back on, because we get hurt, we feel marginalized, and all that pressure shifts our energy, and we begin to ignore what we need to do, our own work, so that we can stay supported.
Mm-hmm. Alicia, your thoughts about impediments and speed bumps and the like to climbing the corporate ladder?
So one of the greatest speed bumps that I found is people don't look at what matters to the company or the position that they're either in or want to be in. You have to be very, very clear on where it is that you want to go, because then you can structure what you're doing, the types of projects that you take on in order to get there. But if you are highlighting all the things that you've done that mean nothing to what's important for your company, you'll always feel as though, I can never move ahead, I can never get to where I want to be, simply because you are not highlighting and focusing on the things that make sense for them. So if you keep a clean desk every day, if you make 50 calls every day, and you come in on time every single day, and you can never get promoted, you've got to take a look and see, okay, what matters most to them? It might not be the 50 calls, but the 2 closed deals. So you've got to figure out where I align my energies, and that's, I feel, one of the greatest impediments that folks have when they are working in corporate, because they put in all this work, all this effort, all this energy into pathways that mean very little to the company that they're working at, or mean very little to the position that they want to go in.
As when you talk about diversity, Tawana, there was a time not too terribly long ago that, even before the term diversity was a kitchen table issue in corporate conversation, it was white folks and black folks.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have people of color.
LGBTQ.
And, yeah, exactly. And so that's an excellent point when you're talking about diversity. You have Latinos, you have Asians, you have members of the LGBTQ community.
Race, ethnicity, religion.
What's the message for black people who realize that within the field of people of color that there is stiff competition? What do you have to do now to compete not only within the people of color area, but also for the majority?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, that's one thing that African Americans I have not heard yet. And this is a first time bringing this up. It's interesting to me because typically we went first.
Right.
Okay. So the civil rights movement and the affirmative action and everything that fell after that was because we took the brunt of the work, right? We were in the trenches. And so we have allies from other communities of color, yes. But, you know, I have yet to hear people say, now I'm competing with some other, right? That's new. Because here's what I would say, that first, there in our own community, we have black men who are not getting recognized and being promoted. And we need to continue to concentrate on how do we make ways, pathways, and be trailblazers. Forget everybody else and looking at everybody else. I mean, if forget color, look at what you can do to trailblaze. How can you create opportunity? How can you break down the barriers, right? So this is not about looking at the person running next to you on the track. It's more about how are you going to establish purpose and legacy? How can you help support those that you care most about? So I understand that mindset, but again, traditionally, since the civil rights, before the civil rights movement, we haven't thought about too many other people.
Well, that's what I say, because I'm not talking about traditionally. I'm talking about now, today, as America becomes browner,
mm-hmm.
and the languages become more diverse.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not feeling it now, they may feel it tomorrow.
Yeah, 2030. Year 2030, you're talking about the flipping of the demographic. The majority will be the minority. And so when you look at which community of color is going to be the largest, or what community of difference is going to be the majority, that, yes, that's something globalization is affecting. But I will say that it's not about competing about the other. It's about really looking at you giving it your all. And let's just stay in the path of your lane. And not worry about what other groups are doing. I really want to get your audience to understand, if that is a concern, even with our young people going from college to career, if that is a concern about making room or finding space, that I submit for you to consider, there's room for all of us.
Okay.
Okay.
30 seconds, Alicia, I'll let you have the last word.
You have to first work on mindset. Your mindset truly is everything, especially when you're looking to grow in corporate. Identify exactly where you want to be. Understand that you are the person who is supposed to be in that position, and strategically craft a way to get there. That's partnering, gathering mentors and sponsors to do so.
I want to thank both of you for joining in this conversation, and I want to say good luck to both of you as you continue to bring people of color, and more specifically African Americans, up the corporate ladder. Tawana Burroughs, Alicia Reese, I appreciate your time. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, October 16th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.